Father, once again, we do thank you that we can be gathered here today in your name. And we pray that it will not be in vain because, Lord, we pray that you will be working in our hearts and our lives to transform us and to bring us ever into a closer walk with you, fellowship with you, and also to make us ever more effective, Lord, in sharing our faith and in reaching out to those around us. We approach a very important time in the year when we remember the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bought for us eternal salvation, who gave to us free of charge the gift of eternal life, and by whose power and authority we stand here today, and in whose name we come every time we approach your throne of grace. And Lord, you have said to ask and we'll receive, to seek and we'll find, and to knock and it'll be opened. And I pray that you will open this topic to us in a new way today, and as in a way as never before, that you would move us to avail ourselves of this which you have told us about. Take your word now and use it effectively in our lives, that we would not be hearers only, but that we would put into practice the things that we hear from you today. Take your word and use it powerfully in our lives, we pray. In each of us individually, may we be transformed by it. May we be brought more into your image by it. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord, and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. This passage, I imagine, is pretty familiar, and it comes from a Sermon on the Mount, which is what we are studying in our Sunday school class these days. And after telling us not to worry, and why do we worry about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and all this stuff, and stuff that we really don't have a lot of control over anyway, Jesus concludes by saying there in verse 33 of chapter 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, these temporal things, will be given to you as well. And he also tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Come on, be honest. Have you ever worried about tomorrow? Some of us worry about the day, let alone tomorrow. And he says, don't do it, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And, you know, we do live one day at a time, don't we? And that theme kind of emerged this week as I talked to two or three different people. And I do thank God. You know, yesterday's gone. I can't do a thing about it. Tomorrow isn't here yet. But thank God, he's just given me today. As bad as today may be, at least today all I got to deal with right now. And thank the Lord for that. And then he gets into the little thing about judging and stuff like that. And why are we so worried about the speck in our brother's eye when we may actually have a 2x4 beam in our eye? And he says, you better make sure the beam's out of your eye before you go looking for specks in your brother's eye. That's a good sermon, isn't it? Maybe I'll preach on that sometime. And then he says, don't take sacred things and just throw them around, you know, because they're valuable. And then he says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And then as for emphasis or to repeat, he says, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone, anyone, anyone. You can stick your name in there. It isn't a certain class of people. It isn't people that have reached a certain level or whatever. I would say anyone who knows the Lord, anybody who comes and asks sincerely and asks in Jesus' name. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone, let's say that together. Everyone who asks receives. Who said that? Jesus. Now, we have a phrase out in our jargon. I refer to those a lot. They say, you get what you ask for. And sometimes they say, be careful what you ask for. And that's true. This is a great privilege, but we need to use it wisely, right? We need to use it wisely. But today I want to put a little bit different emphasis on it. Because a lot of times I think we read this and are like, yeah, ask. You know, Lord, I think I do need a 52-inch big screen in my living room. Lord, I think it would be nice to trade in this rattle trap I'm driving for something a little bit nicer. And we're bold and we come and we ask. And yes, the Lord is gracious. And a lot of times, you know, but there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, one of the phrases in our prayer today, give us this day, what? Our daily bread, that's fine, but let's keep it in its proper place, okay? And not be neglecting. But I want to take this thing, this is the year of the lost sheep. So I want to take this thing, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. We do get what we ask for. And James says, you have not because you ask not. I used to say, Lord, if I miss a sale, let it be for any reason, but let it not be because I didn't point black blank ask for it. They say that one of the main reasons sales are lost is you show the product, you make friends with them, and all of that, you tell them all about it, and you never quite get around to saying, now, what can I do to sell you this thing today? But we have not because we ask not. Is that true? Bill Hybels, some of you have heard of Willow Creek Church in Chicago. How many have heard of that church? About 18,000 members. He said, one of the things we learned early was as a church, because they started with just four or five guys, you know, from scratch. He said, we learned to make big asks, A-S-K-S, early on. And so to some degree, we limit ourselves by what we're willing to ask the Lord for. But today I want to apply this in the area of reaching out. And we need to start asking the Lord, you know, in that area, because that's an area. If we were to say, well, let's look at some of these things. This is what I want to encourage you to do as an individual Christian and as a church. Because he says, ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Now, who does the asking? We do. Who does the seeking? We do. And who does the knocking? We do. How many remember my sermon on removing the stone at Lazarus' tomb? Some of you remember that sermon. It's up to you to move the stone, and the Lord will raise Lazarus. Remember that? You move the stone. He's waiting for you to move the stone. Get that junk out of the way, that unbelief or that whatever, that sin you're holding on to, whatever it is, get the stone out of the way. The Lord will raise Lazarus. It's not your job to raise Lazarus, but it is your job to remove the stone. And in the issue of seeing God work, he's the one that does the miracle, but I do the asking. He's the one that allows me to find, but I've got to do the seeking. He's not going to do that for me. And if I want the door opened, I've got to knock. I've got to knock. He's not going to do the knocking for me. So to a very real degree, you have not because you ask not. And I want us to get bolder in asking, and I want us to get bolder in asking, especially in a certain area of our Christian lives and of our activity. Because he says that if we being evil, imperfect, fallen, and sometimes even selfish human beings know how to do good things and provide good gifts for our children, how much more will our perfect Heavenly Father not give good things to those who what? To ask Him! Not those that are perfect, not those that are super spiritual, not those that are in some special category, but those who ask Him. And I want us to say, if it didn't happen, let it not be, Lord, because I did not ask or did not seek or did not knock. That would be a sin of omission, wouldn't it? Samuel said, God forbid, he said to the people of Israel, that I should sin against you in ceasing to pray for you. Think about that. So ask the Lord. Here's a few things we want to ask the Lord. By the way, some of you may have heard of the Williams translation of the New Testament. I don't know if you've heard of that Charles Williams translation of the New Testament. A lot of people haven't heard of it. It's probably out of print now. I have a prized copy right over there in my office. And Mr. Williams was a professor at Moody Bible Institute, where my son Charles attended years ago, and he was an expert in Greek, and he was especially an expert in Greek tenses. So when you read his New Testament, he goes as far as he has to try to convey the actual tense and meaning of every verb in the New Testament. So in this passage, his translation is, ask and keep on asking, and it'll be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open unto you. For whoever asks and keeps on asking receives, and whoever seeks and keeps on seeking will find, and to whoever knocks and keeps on knocking, it will be open. And by the way, that fits, because when you read the same thing in chapter 11 of the book of Luke, the chapter opens with an abbreviated version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Food line is closed for the night and I need some bread. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, or actually insistence, persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. He may not get up because you're his friend, but he will get up so he can get some sleep. Is that where we live? That's right. That's real life, isn't it? Then verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and the door will be opened to you. So that's the context of it. And I want us to get more insistent in asking in some areas. May the Lord grant us that request. Here's some things we can ask of the Lord. Number one. If you want to do a little evangelization and be used of the Lord, ask the Lord to lay people on your heart to pray for. We've been through this before. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. You say, well, I'm not very good at talking. I'm not very good at saying. Well, can you pray? Are you tongue-tied? Can you pray? Even if you say, Lord, send somebody else to talk to them. Can you ask the Lord to lay some people on your heart to pray for? And if you ask that, do you think the Lord will do it if you mean it? Of course he will. It says if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we already basically have the things that we're seeking from him. So ask the Lord to lay people on your heart to pray for. I don't know how many. That's not up to me. You ask and he'll do it. Maybe it'll only be one right now. He knows your capacity, right? But it's better to be praying for one person than not to be praying for everybody, anybody, right? Now, we're talking about for salvation, okay? I want to clarify that. Now, you can pray about their finances and their healing and all that. But today, I'm talking about their salvation. So ask the Lord for some people to pray for. Maybe he'll give you 3. Or maybe if you're like Ray Westmoreland, he'll give you about 25. But the point is, whether it's 1, 3, 5, or 25, pray for them and say, Lord, work in their life. Lord, send people their way. Lord, make them receptive to your word. Lord, begin to work in their heart by your Holy Spirit. Lord, begin to work in this person's heart. I can't reach them, but you can reach them. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit become more active in their lives in order to bring them to yourself. And be praying for these people that way. And if we ask, we'll receive. Ask the Lord for boldness in sharing. Now that one you may not want to ask because you're afraid if you ask that one, you will get it. And you're so scared to death, you don't really want boldness right now. But if you really do, you know, now, does it say that everything comes instantaneously the very minute? It doesn't say that. It says ask and keep on asking and you will receive. And sometimes it comes after 3 minutes. Sometimes it comes after 3 days. Sometimes it comes after 3 months. Sometimes it comes after 3 years. Sometimes it comes after 3 decades. How many of you, if you started praying something and 29 years, 364 days went by, would you still be praying the same thing? What is your staying power? But ask for boldness in sharing. The Apostle Paul did. And we didn't even think he needed it. But he's the one guy who says, pray, oh, pray that I'll be bold enough. Pray that I'll open my mouth. Pray that I'll speak what I ought to speak when I ought to speak it. Is that a good prayer to pray? If you can't pray, just say, Lord, just help me. Help me to open my mouth when I should. And to say, because we open our mouths at the wrong times. And then we say the thing we shouldn't be saying so many times. But Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness to at least make the attempt. Maybe I make a fool of myself. Well, I'd rather make a fool of myself for the Lord, right? Doing the right thing. Because didn't we talk about recently the Lord can use the foolish things of man in order to serve his purpose. Ask him for boldness. Number two, ask him to work in hearts and lives. Because once again, you can witness, but only the Lord can bring them to himself. That's just like moving the stone. You move the stone, he raises Lazarus. You witness, he's the one that has to bring them to himself. He's the one that has to open their heart. He's the one who has to make them receptive. And remember, that's not your job. Your job is to pray for that. Lord, make them receptive. I don't know how you're going to do it. There's some people you probably know. They're so hard. You know, you're like, I don't think I'll ever come to the Lord. Well, I know that. Well, anyway, I know that the chances improve when some believing people start praying for him regularly. And I don't have to know how the Lord's going to do it. I just have to ask the Lord to do it. How many believe our God is a big God? Okay, you one. Two, you believe he's powerful. Yeah, he's a big God, right? Okay, he hears and answers prayer. Okay, so Lord, work in this person's heart. I can't do it, but you can. Open their heart. Become more active in them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Work in their hearts. Work in their lives. Draw them to yourself. And then number four, bring people to himself. Lord, bring people to yourself. And if it's a little less specific, if you're an Awana worker, a VBS worker, a Sunday school teacher, or you do any ministry like that, you may not know exactly in a group like that who they are. So then you say, Lord, use our ministry. Use our class to bring people to yourself. But be working in lives, Lord, and bring people to yourself. And we need to be praying that. All right. What do we seek? Well, we seek opportunities. I just happened across a little thing. Somebody gave me a book, and I don't read those things very much. But somebody gave me a little book. Famous quotes from famous dead people or something. It was the name of it or something. But D.L. Moody, again, apparently told a story about a great, great craftsman, great artisan, great sculptor. And a man was walking through he had all this stuff on display. And over here was one that had a cloth over his face and wings on his feet. And it really got his curiosity. This is being told by D.L. Moody. He says, what's that? Oh, he said the name of that one is Opportunity. Oh, yeah. He said, you see, his face is covered because most people don't recognize him when he comes to them. And he has wings on his feet because he quickly leaves. And once he does, you can never catch up with him again. So we seek opportunities. We claim opportunity comes knocking. Maybe it's the other way around. I'm not sure. But we can seek opportunities. Seek opportunities for sharing and witness. It's amazing what you can find. You ever seen somebody seem to always be able to find those pennies, dimes, and nickels on the ground? I've never been able to. But you know people, they just seem to have a knack for that. They're always finding stuff. You know why that is? Because they're actively seeking it. Even when they're walking around in their subconscious, they're seeking it. So seek opportunities for sharing and witness. You never know when one's going to hit. So look for them with the people you know, the people that you know that need to know the Lord. Be looking for opportunities to share. Al Hurd will be doing his service tomorrow. He's always sharing. His daughter Nancy said, yeah, I said he could share with you before you really caught on to what he was doing. Because what he was doing, he wasn't putting a guilt trip on you or anything. He's just telling you how wonderful the Lord was and what great things the Lord had done for him. But those opportunities, you know, they'll pass us right on by. But we seek for them. We seek opportunities for sharing and witness. Seek opportunities for building relationships. We're all busy. And I know you can't do a whole, it's time consuming, so you can't do this with everybody. But if you're asking the Lord to lay people on your heart to pray for, then he may also give you somebody to seek opportunities for building a relationship so that you will have the opportunity to share with them later. Seek opportunities for showing kindness. Why do we say that? Because acts of kindness, they're one of the best testimonies that we have. I read a little thing in Tell It Like It Is, which is a modern commentary on the Gospel of John years ago. And it said that there was this barber that was always witnessing to everybody. Everybody that came into the shop. And this one guy he had really been working on a long time. And one day he was working on him again. And the guy wasn't wanting really to hear it. And he said, but John, or whatever his name was, he says, I only do this because I love you. He said, yeah, you love me. I was in the hospital 3 weeks and I never did see you. So acts of kindness, that you know, in the Lord's name, oh yeah, they go a long way. And so we look for opportunities to do those things intentionally. Number four, for building bridges with people. And number five, for seeking out the unsaved and the wandering. Seek them out. Seek them out. Don't wait. I mean, sometimes the Lord will put them right in front of you. And when that happens, and you need to use that opportunity. But they're not all going to just come that way. So you see. And that's what we're talking about. Seeking the lost sheep. Who isn't here that should be? So then we go seeking them out. Whether it's your Sunday school class, whether it's you as an individual, your ladies group, whoever it is, we go seeking for them. The unsaved and the wandering. We go looking for them. And then when the Lord does bless us with a relationship where we gain enough confidence that we can begin to actually, you know, maybe do some witnessing, then there comes a time when it's time to start knocking. Here's some ways we should knock, I believe. We should knock boldly and courageously. Anybody here besides myself ever gone cold calling? And for any that don't know, that's just knocking on doors to sell something or hand them something and you don't know the people. Anybody done that? Is that easy or hard? Kind of hard, isn't it? As bashful as I am, the Lord started using me and stuff like that, even as a teenager. And somehow I had the boldness for that, and I could go out and do it. But if you're scared to death, sometimes you're there. Should I knock or not? Should I ring that bell or not? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe they got a big old dog. We should knock boldly and courageously. We should knock consistently. Jesus said so. In that story of the neighbor. Not consistently. You're looking for a specific result. Not consistently. Not prayerfully. Because when we're out on the Lord's assignment, we're not on our own time. We're not on our own clock. And so we pray. But we knock. Not consistently. Don't knock for, you know, a short time and then say, oh, well, I don't guess they're going to open. I guess I'll go on to the next one. Not unless the Lord's released you. Knock lovingly. Knock lovingly. And knock compassionately. Because there are people out there, they're in a life of sin. And the Lord wants to save them. But you need to knock compassionately. Jesus did. Think of him witnessing to the Samaritan woman. She needed to hear some truth, and he shared that truth with her. But he did it lovingly, didn't he? He did it lovingly. And that day, she came to acknowledge him as Messiah and Lord. And because of her, many others did as well. Now, there's an example of seeking the opportunity. It said Jesus had to go through Samaria. Let me ask you, what business did Jesus possibly have in Samaria? Did he have some real estate he wanted to look at? The reason he needed to go through Samaria is because he knew there was somebody there that needed a word of witness. That's why he needed to go through Samaria, because a lot of times they didn't. They'd cross the river and go up the other side so they could avoid Samaria. He was seeking the opportunity, and he found the opportunity, but he found it because he was looking for it. There's a good example right there. And I want to close with this. He is our perfect example. Ask, seek, knock. Starting with his prayer in the garden in John chapter 17. He is asking for you and for me. And he's saying, Father, keep them by your power and make them one as we are one. And give them boldness to be able to share this message with others. He's there. He's getting ready to go to the cross. And he's on his face asking his heavenly Father for you and for me. And he says that I don't only ask for these, but for those who will later come to your knowledge through their word. And today, we call him, now that he is at the Father's right hand, what do we call him? We call him our high priest. We call him our intercessor. Do you know what an intercessor is? It's somebody that asks. And that's what he does full time. Father, my children down there, this one over here needs healing. This one over here needs more boldness and witness. This one over here needs Christian growth. Father, work in their lives. He is asking continually. And then when he was here on this earth, his own words were, the Son of Man came to what? Seek, and to save that which was lost. Seek and ye shall find. And then in Revelation 3:20, does anybody know it? Behold, I, this is Jesus, stand at the door and what? And if any man hear my voice and will open the door, only we can open the door. Now that are the roles reversed. He calls, I open. But he says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, what will I do? I'll come in and we're going to have a good old time over a supper, over a meal. We're going to have intimate fellowship. Have you experienced that? Jesus, the asker, the seeker, and the knocker. He's knocking right now. He might be knocking on your door. But as his people, may he make us the same way. Lord, that I would ask, that I would seek, and that I would knock for those who do not know you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. It says that you sent your Son into the world. You sent him because we were lost. You sent him because we were wandering. You sent him because we were hopeless. Because we were dying. Without Jesus right now, we would still be lost and dying. And any who don't know him still are. And so, Lord, today, as we look at your word again, you said you'll give us what we ask, and you'll let us find what we're seeking. and that if we knock, doors will be opened. Now, we know that some never will open the door. But since we don't know who will and who won't, we're going to keep on knocking. We don't know on what day it is we're going to find a certain thing, Lord. But we know that if we keep on seeking, we will find, because it says so in your word. And also, if we ask, it starts with asking. Lord, I pray that you will put a prayer burden on the hearts of your people. I pray that we would not just be concerned about ourselves. Of course, we're concerned about ourselves and our families and our situations and all of that, and that's fine. But Lord, that you would also expand us beyond that, and that we would begin to ask you to lay people on our hearts, and then once you do, to ask you to work in their lives in certain ways, and then to ask for and seek opportunities to either befriend them, or to speak to them, or to share with them, or to encourage them, or to do an act of kindness for them. And then, Lord, as you direct us, if we know that we just can feel it in our senses that there's an opportunity, that in you, through prayer, we would knock again and again and again until that door is open. I know many mission fields have been opened that way, and many churches have been started that way. So, Lord, let us knock. And, Lord, thank you that you said you'll do it. We thank you. Use your word now in our hearts, both today and in the days ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.